Okay, good morning, everybody. Proverbs 9, verse 10 says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And our topic this morning is, there came wise men. This is the account of Herod and the encounter with the wise men from the east. But this is a reminder to us of the historicity of the birth of Christ and the efforts by wicked men to try to prevent the fulfillment of the scriptures. The focus of the whole passage, though, is the Lord Jesus Christ. The wise men came to worship him. They came asking, "Where is he that is born, King of the Jews?" So Hannah's going to play hymn number 129, "Fairest Lord Jesus." This is an account of the worship of the Lord Jesus Christ. Even from the point of his birth, he was born to be king. And many times we forget that the accounts of his birth in Bethlehem was actually just the beginning, but that he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. "Ye servants of God, your master, proclaim." Hannah's going to play hymn number 136. Thank you. Amen. Thank you, Hannah. This passage is an acknowledgement of the Lord Jesus Christ as King. And likewise, we acknowledge Him despite His lowly beginnings, born in a manger. Yet, hallelujah, what a Savior. Dan, would you sing hymn number 175? Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for Your revelation unto us, for the great wisdom that You have revealed in the Scriptures. And we thank You that You've given us some insight into Your holiness, into our wickedness. And yet You've given us the grace to repent and to believe in the one and only Savior. We thank You for Your Word, for Your faithfulness, for accomplishing Your purpose, even in our daily lives. We pray for Your help for those who need Your strength. We pray for Shirley at this time that You would strengthen her and help her in her efforts to get back on her feet. We pray for others who need Your help. We thank You that Tom is recovering and pray that You would continue to keep everyone healthy. We praise You and thank You. In Jesus' name, amen. Dan, would you read this passage for us this morning? It's Matthew 2, verses 1 to 10.
Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? We have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes and the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.' Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also.' When they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star, which they saw in the east, went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy.
Amen. Before we turn to this passage in Matthew 2 this morning, we commemorate a date in history. It was November the 29th, the year 1958. It was on that date that a Chinese missionary named John Ding and his wife, Zhu Yiming, were arrested in Tibet for preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were charged by the communists for being a threat to the state, and they were imprisoned. A short time later, Zhu died in prison. He was not told of his wife's death until 3 years later, at which time he was given her shoes and her dress. The toes of the shoes and the knees of the dress were worn out from her constant prayer while in prison. John Ding was held in prison by the communist authorities for another 23 years, and he was eventually released in 1981, and he resumed preaching the gospel. He later remarried as well, but John Ding is an example of, even as these wise men showed a willingness to worship Christ at whatever cost. So thus we remember the faith of missionary John Ding and his wife Zhu Yiming. This morning we are in Matthew chapter 2. There came wise men. And from time to time it's necessary that we remember that though we reject the Romish traditions surrounding December 25th, nevertheless, we hold fast to the biblical truth of the incarnation of Christ and the biblical accounts of the events surrounding his birth. And such is the case this morning with regard to these wise men. I noted earlier that Proverbs reminds us of the definition of wisdom, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Fear not in the sense of trembling or terror, but in a reverence, an awe, a recognition of His majesty and His glory. And such is the case here with these wise men who, as it says here in this chapter, in the days of Herod, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. The days of Herod. Herod was the king. He was a Edomite who had been elevated to the throne in Judea. He was born in 72 BC. And he came to power through some efforts by those to place people in control who were loyal to the Roman emperor. He maintained his power as a tyrant, though, through treachery and through jealousy, through murder. And Herod reigned from about 37 BC to 4 BC. And in those days of Herod, there came wise men from the east. They came from Babylon. We refer to them today as the Magi, the kingmakers. Those who had been trained in the traditions of the East to observe the signs of the stars, but not in a superstitious astrological sense, as many people follow astrology today. They recognized God's signs in the heavens. They were trained in biblical prophecy by Daniel himself more than 500 years earlier. And that knowledge of the scripture, that knowledge of prophecy, was passed down to those who practiced the faith, even in Babylon. These wise men came, a caravan of camels. The modern superstition is that there were three of them, but this was a large caravan. It was a demonstration of great wealth, and yet they came not to magnify their own wealth or their selves, but to worship the one who was born King of the Jews. They made this trip of more than 500 miles, and they came after observing the star in the east. From their position more than 500 miles away, they had witnessed the sign in the heavens of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they came in search of him that they might worship him. This was a fulfillment of that prophecy from Numbers 24, verse 17, when Balaam, that prophet, had issued the prophecy that there would be one who was to come, the star, and the one who would wield the scepter, even the fulfillment of that Genesis 49 prophecy that the scepter would not depart from Judah until Shiloh would come. And this was a reference, of course, to the coming of Christ. Though many of the religious community among the Jews had forgotten those prophecies, they rejected the accuracy of them, there were still faithful people who believed the Word of God and who looked forward to the coming of Christ. And such was the case with these wise men, these magi from the east. They came and they inquired, "Where is he that is born, King of the Jews?" They came in search of the Savior. They came in response to the star, the sign in the heavens that God had given to them, that the time was near, that the Messiah would be born. This is a reminder to us that they came in response to the call of God, even as people come to salvation, not by our own will, not by our own works, but because of the effectual call of the Holy Spirit. The wise men came to Jerusalem, and they came looking for the one that they should worship and could worship. But we see here in verse 3 that King Herod was troubled. Herod was a jealous, paranoid tyrant. He had a bodyguard of more than 2,000 troops. He was infamous for his executions of any perceived enemies. He killed his own wife and two of his sons because of fear of rebellion and treason. Emperor Augustus once said of him, it was safer to be Herod's pig than one of his sons. But Herod was a jealous man, and we read here that he was troubled because of the inquiry of these wise men who came inquiring, where is the one who was born King of the Jews, that they might worship him. It was a little bit ironic that they were asking, first of all, for a King of the Jews. The Jews, by that time, were largely despised among the nations of the world. They were not perceived to be a powerful kingdom, for they were servants of Rome. They had been occupied by the Roman occupiers, the Roman Empire, and therefore they had no autonomy, no self-government. Even the king who reigned over them, King Herod, was not a Jew himself. He was a practicing Jew, so to speak, but he was an Edomite whose family had converted to Judaism. So he was not a worshiper of the true God. He was a self-serving tyrant. But the wise men came looking for the one that they might worship. And King Herod was greatly troubled. He feared anyone who threatened his reign. He also caused his sense of trouble to spread to Jerusalem as a whole. So too the whole city was greatly troubled. They were troubled whenever their king was troubled, because when he was upset, that meant bad tidings for their well-being as well. They also perhaps were concerned with this demonstration of a large caravan from the east. Contrary to the modern notions that there were just three wise men, this would have been a very large caravan. The, as we shall, Lord willing, see tonight, the gifts which they brought, the gold and the frankincense and the myrrh, they were costly items, and three men would not have made such a journey with such great wealth. This was a large caravan, probably a demonstration of much force. And the people of Jerusalem may have been concerned about a potential invasion, a potential for greater ill tidings yet to come as a result of this strange visit. So Herod and the city were greatly troubled. But Herod heard of what they were inquiring for, the one who would be born king of the Jews. And he consulted the Pharisees and the scribes, the Jewish religious authorities, to inquire where this king of the Jews was to be born. And they quoted to him that prophecy from Micah chapter 5, verse 2, that prophesied the Lord would be born in the city of Bethlehem, the city of David. Bethlehem, which is in Judah, and from the least of the princes of Judah would come the one who is to be the governor of my people, Israel. This would have infuriated King Herod because he thought he was the king, and he was jealous of anyone who might threaten his power. So Herod reacted as the way he had always done with any perceived threat. He began to plot the elimination of any such threat. But this again shows the accuracy of the prophecy of the Word of God. The Lord Jesus was indeed born in Bethlehem. It was Bethlehem of Judah, not the Bethlehem to the further north of Israel. There were two cities of Bethlehem, or two towns, but this one was specifically that small town, the insignificant town of Bethlehem of Judah, from which would come the governor, the one who would rule the people, Israel. Not in a political sense, not in a mere earthly sense, but the beginning of the manifestation of the eternal reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Herod is told of this prophecy, and he sends the message to come privately to these wise men. He invites them, and he gives them instructions. He says, go to Bethlehem, diligently search out the one whom you seek, and then come and tell me that I might worship him too. This, of course, was not what he intended. He planned the elimination of that king, for he had inquired when the star appeared. He demanded to know from the wise men when they had gotten that sign from the heavens about the birth of the Messiah. And they told him when it was. It was probably 6 months or more previously. By now we're into the spring of 4 BC. And that's an indicator that probably the Lord Jesus was born sometime in what we recognize as the year 5 BC. It was certainly prior to the death of Herod, because all of these events that are recorded in Luke 2 regarding the birth of Christ, the census that had been ordered by Augustus, the emperor of Rome, the orders of Herod, even to eliminate this child that was born in Bethlehem. He ordered the death of all male children under 2 years of age. And though the scripture does not tell us specifically the exact date that the star appeared, Herod's order to eliminate any male children born in the region of Bethlehem under 2 years of age is an indicator that he was trying to cover all of his options. He was making sure in his mind that he eliminated the threat to his reign. And thus, sometime prior to his death in the late 4 BC, all of these events came to pass. So the history of the Word of God is true. Herod directed the wise men to go. They heard what he said, but there's no response here recorded in the scripture. They did not promise to come and tell him. Apparently, they may have suspected that he had ulterior motives, that he planned something other than to go and worship this young child. They departed towards Bethlehem, and it says that the star reappeared, and it hovered over the place where the child was. This, too, is a sign of the supernatural power of God. That star which they had seen months earlier, and perhaps even more than a year earlier, they had directed their attention to Jerusalem and brought them here in search of the king that they might worship. They were directed by God. And now the star reappears and it hovers over the place where the child was. The emphasis here is not Mary and Joseph. The star did direct them to the house where the child was. The focus is the Lord Jesus Christ. The central worship is the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, their purpose was to find him and to worship him. And that ought to be our focus as well. All of the peripheral things, all of the rituals, and all of the notions regarding his birth, we ought to recognize that the history of the scripture, the fulfillment of God's prophecy, it's not merely an infant, but it's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It's the one who's worthy of all honor and glory and praise. It's the one who was born to be king, but born to be the Savior, born to be the once and for all sacrifice for the sins of his people. He came and lived perfectly under the law, and he died the horrible death on the cross that we might have eternal life. The wise men responded to the revelation that God gave to them. We have a responsibility to respond to the illumination of the Spirit of God, the effectual call of the Spirit of God to repent and to believe. They came seeking the one whom they might worship. And it ought to be our focus each and every day of our lives to center our attention upon the one who is worthy of all worship. There are basically three responses to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Herod represents fallen humanity, the open hatred of Jesus Christ and God that Herod demonstrated in his life, the fear and the violence that he was willing to engage in to preserve his own power and his own wealth. And such is the state of natural man. The religious community, the Jews, the Pharisees and the scribes, they were indifferent to the birth of the Messiah. They preferred to focus upon their own religious ritual, their own self-perceived righteousness, and their own ideas of how they might get to heaven. There are many people today that would prefer to engage in the religion that is right in their own eyes, the definition of God that suits their opinions and not the truth of the Word of God. And then there's the third group, the wise men. And these wise men believed the Word of God. They believed the prophecy that was recorded in Scripture. And they were willing to go and to worship this king at all costs. They were willing to endure great hardship, great distance and difficulty of travel. They were willing to give great sums of wealth in worship of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And thus the three responses. And this ought to prompt ourselves to ask, in which camp do we find ourselves? Those who are blinded to the truth, those who are engaged in their own self-will, their open hostility, their hatred of Christ, their pursuit of health and wealth and happiness, they represent Herod. And then there are those today who are the religious. They perceive themselves to be Christians. They pronounce themselves to believe in God, and yet the God that they believe in is not the God of the Bible. They prefer their own routines and their own opinions of what the Scripture says. They're willing to change those interpretations whenever it suits their fancy. But then there's others who repent and believe because of the call of the Spirit of God. They recognize their responsibility to give all honor and glory and praise to Christ and to serve Him at whatever the cost, even as the Scripture calls upon us to count the cost, to recognize that the wealth and the fame and the popularity of this world is not of any lasting value. We're to store up for ourselves treasures in heaven rather than treasures on earth. And thus, even as the great martyrs of the past and even the present, we must be willing even to lay down our own lives for the sake of the gospel. Thus the three responses. There's a couple of other lessons here in this passage as well, though, because again we see, as we remember the events of Luke chapter 2, that the principle of God has always been to reveal Himself first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. He revealed Himself to the lowly shepherds first, and then to the mighty kings of the East. He reveals Himself to the poor and the lowly first, and then to the rich. And thus, it is God's purpose not to reward or not to give preference to those who are the highest in society, but to the lowest. The Scripture reminds us that God is no respecter of persons. He doesn't restrict His blessings to only the rich and the famous, but He reveals Himself by grace. That there is no difference between Jew and Gentile, male and female, bond and free. Salvation is an individual matter for all who will repent and believe. And thus, the glorious truth of the gospel. The wise men, when they located the Lord, they found Him in the house where He was. And they came with great joy, and they worshiped Him. This ought to be our focus. It ought to be our attitude of praise, not just on Sundays, but each and every day of our lives. Dan, would you close with hymn number 133?
My God.
rejoice, the humble poor believe.
Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Do we have any thoughts this morning regarding